you know, when you're feeling a little bit down as to whether your own government is doing quite enough work, when you take things rather personally, it is sometimes very good to have the overview, you know, and to know what's happening around the world and to see that, on the whole, the progress is in our direction.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Argentina criminalizes anti-queer discrimination, a South Korean judge reluctantly rates a gay website X, and the wit of Sir Ian sparkles from the movement to Middle Earth. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the 2 weeks ending January 3, 2004. Argentina's parliament, the Chamber of Deputies, has voted to amend the national anti-discrimination law to make sexual orientation and gender identity or its expression protected categories. The law defines as discriminatory acts and omissions motivated by these and 18 other reasons. The national gay and lesbian civil rights group called CHA, Comunidad Homosexual Argentina, led almost two decades of lobbying to win the early December vote, which it called an historic step in the recognition of the rights of gay, lesbian, transgender, transsexual, bisexual people in the entire nation.
Sexual orientation-based discrimination is now prohibited in employment by the executive branch of the U.S. state of Michigan under an executive order Democratic Governor Jennifer Granholm issued on Christmas Eve. About 55,000 state civil service jobs are covered by the order. The national group Human Rights Campaign says that only 10 other U.S. states have adopted similar employment policies.
In South Korea, the Seoul High Court has issued a ruling against the nation's first gay website, X-Zone, yet the decision itself is supportive of gays and lesbians' constitutional rights to free expression and the pursuit of happiness. The government's Information and Communications Ethics Committee, which censors the internet in South Korea, had designated X-Zone as harmful to minors, and X-Zone was asking the court to override the ruling. The judge apparently did not really have that choice, since there was no higher court precedent on enforcing the anti-gay clause of the so-called Youth Protection Law governing internet censorship. But while fighting against X-Zone, the judge suggested that the law may violate the constitutional rights of gays and lesbians and expressed doubts as to its listing of homosexuality among acts of perversion. The government's own sex education guidelines for teachers already recognize homosexuality as a human lifestyle and a form of affection.
Indonesia's first film clearly showing a gay kiss has not only escaped government censorship, it's become a box office hit, and it may even be opening some viewers' minds in the Muslim-dominated nation. The film is called Arisan, meaning a popular Indonesian tradition of friends and family meeting on a regular basis to gamble and socialize, and it satirizes Jakarta's super-rich elite. The three lead characters are two married women struggling with infidelity and their gay friend, Sakti, who is struggling with his orientation. As well as his passionate smooch with a new partner, the film includes an aerial shot of gay oral sex in a public bathroom.
Australia's first registered partnerships were contracted on the first business day of 2004 in Tasmania. Tasmanian partnerships are open not only to same-gender couples, but to a broad range of state residents in relationships the new law calls significant and caring. Registry carries essentially all the state-level legal rights and responsibilities of marriage, as the term partner has now replaced husband, wife, and de facto in numerous Tasmanian laws. The biggest exception is the ability to adopt an unrelated child as a couple, although partners can co-adopt each other's children. The first to register were Michael Carnes and Bob Lavis of Bruny Island, who've been together for 17 years. The first lesbians were Lee Highland and Beck Whelans of Launceston, a couple of 5 years standing who plan to have children by artificial insemination. Hobart couple of 2 years, Jason Kemp and Mark White, along with Highland and Whelans and veteran activist Rodney Croom, together ceremonially cut a cake decorated with a rainbow and the word equal.
Church weddings for gays and lesbians will be held by the three largest Protestant denominations in the Netherlands, which was the first nation in the world to open legal marriage to same-gender couples. The synods of the Dutch Reformed Church, the Calvinist Reformist Church, and the Lutheran Church have voted to merge those denominations into the Protestant Church of the Netherlands, effective in May. The united body will permit same-gender weddings, although no individual church will be required to perform them. Roman Catholics outnumber Protestants by about 2-1 in the Netherlands.
Pope John Paul II continued the Vatican's global campaign against legal recognition of same-gender couples on the first Sunday of 2004, attributing that growing movement to what he called a misunderstood sense of rights. He reaffirmed that heterosexual marriage is sacred, calling it a human and divine gift, and said, "It is necessary that at every level the efforts of those who believe in the importance of the family based on matrimony unite."
But more than a score of Roman Catholic priests in the Chicago area took issue with their church's homophobia in a joint open letter to the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. They declared themselves increasingly disturbed with the increase in the use of violent and abusive language in church documents relating to homosexuality, language they labeled not only pastorally destructive, but vile and toxic. They called for not only an immediate end to such language, but asked that all those in official positions of teaching authority in the church refrain from any more statements directed at the gay and lesbian members of the body of Christ, and instead begin an earnest dialogue with those same members. Pledging themselves to extend respect and dignity to all, they wrote, "We join the countless men and women, heterosexual and homosexual, who seek justice, mercy, and compassion in and through the Catholic Church."
China's first trans man this week became the nation's first transsexual to legally marry there. According to government sources, the trans man known as Ah Gang married a woman known as Xiao Li in the city of Chengdu. The couple had been living together for 3 years, but they could not officially marry until after Ah Gang underwent sex reassignment surgery in May and received a revised identity card. Ah Gang told the Chengdu Commercial Daily, "All these years I've yearned for love, but never imagined I would taste it. And when I finally met Xiao Li, I didn't dare to think about marriage. I'm lost for words now that I've finally fulfilled both my wishes."
And finally, the changing of the year is the season of awards, and lesbi-gays have been among the honorees. South African veteran gay activist Zaki Ahmad and a group he chairs, Treatment Action Campaign, were both formally nominated for the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize by the U.S.-based American Friends Service Committee for what it called a significant contribution to the global struggle against AIDS.
Nigeria's first lesbi-gay and trans group, Alliance Rights Nigeria, was honored by the National Group Journalists Against AIDS with a Breaker of Silence Award at its late December Red Ribbon Awards ceremony.
The Paris-based World Association of Newspapers awarded its annual Golden Pen of Freedom to openly gay Uzbek journalist Ruslan Sharipov, who remains in prison on a sodomy conviction widely believed to have been designed to silence his criticism of the government. Calling for his release, the group said, "The award recognizes Mr. Sharipov's outstanding defense and promotion of press freedom in the face of constant physical danger, prison, and censorship. His refusal to censor himself, even in the face of intimidation, prison, and torture, is a courageous act that is an inspiration to journalists and human rights everywhere."
The U.S. Religion News Writers Association named as its Religion Newsmaker of the Year Gene Robinson, the first openly partnered gay to be consecrated as a bishop by the Episcopal Church USA and a source of controversy throughout the global Anglican Communion.
Time Magazine's 2003 Canadian Newsmaker of the Year was actually a gay male couple, Michael Leshner and Michael Stark of Toronto, who capped their years of activism for equal marriage rights by becoming the first same-gender couple in the nation to receive a legal marriage license following an historic ruling by the Ontario Court of Appeal.
There were three entries of interest on Queen Elizabeth's New Year's Honours list for the UK. Openly gay police inspector Paul Cahill, chair of the UK-wide Gay Police Association, becomes a member of the British Empire for services to diversity within the police and to the wider gay community in London. Bisexual film and stage director Stephen Daldry, whose work includes Billy Elliot and The Hours, already had his MBE, but is now elevated to Commander of the British Empire. One of Scotland's newest MBEs is Anna Patrizio, the mother of a gay son who was honored for her work with Parents Enquiry Scotland, a helpline for parents of lesbi-gay children.
Also on the New Year's honors list, the newest members of the New Zealand Order of Merit are openly lesbian entertainers, the Top Twins, Linda and Jules. Along with becoming successful on television and about 25 years of activism for gay and lesbian equality, they've also worked against apartheid and nuclear weapons and for Maori land rights.
And with Italy's New Year's honors list, President Carlo Azeglio Ciampi conferred one of the nation's highest honors on a hero who had been considered one of its lowest citizens. The Medaglio d'Oro al Merito Civile goes to a homeless gay cross-dresser who turned 57 on Christmas Eve, a birth date that gave him the first name Natale, an Italian equivalent of Noel. In mid-December, Natale Maria intervened to stop two young men who were attacking and robbing a group of young women. Others heard their screams and saw what was happening but took no action. Maria remains in a coma from the beating the men gave him, but his sacrifice gave the women the chance to escape. They notified police, leading to the arrest of the men, who will be charged with attempted murder for their attack on Maria. There's hope that Maria will regain consciousness, and when he does, he'll no longer have to sleep in the streets of Rome. Mayor Walter Veltroni left by his hospital bed the keys to a city-owned flat.
That's News Wrap for the 2 weeks ending January 3rd, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Janice Ian.
I'm B.D. Wong.
I'm Kate Quinn.
This is Judy Shepard.
I'm Armistead Maupin.
This is Dorothy Allison.
A summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community.
The Supreme Court says that we matter and we're valuable.
Being gay is not a crime.
It says intended bridegroom and intended bride.
How are
intended spouse and intended spouse?
To press forward with this consecration will be to turn our backs on Almighty God.
It's not about me. It's about so many other people. The margins.
Finally, all families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will have the opportunity to be equal families under the law.
My name is Billy Bean.
This is Margaret Cho.
This is Greg Louganis.
I'm Patricia Nell Warren.
This is Edmund White.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
This is Ian McKellen.
I'm Amanda Burst.
I'm Bruce Valange. And you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Please do stay tuned.
Wellington, New Zealand pulled out every possible stop for the mid-December premiere of the final installment of director Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, Return of the King, and it was a celebration as much of the land where it was filmed as for the movies themselves. In the scant 3 weeks since a grand parade brought 100,000 fans to the streets of Wellington, Return has opened in 39 countries and brought in more than $500 million. That brings the total take of the three Rings movies to a staggering $2 billion+. Starring in the role of the wizardly Gandalf is the incomparable Sir Ian McKellen, famed for his upfront gay politics as well as his classic Shakespearean performances. With his current successes as Gandalf and as Magneto in the X-Men series, McKellen has added action figure to his resume of actor-activist. But it was the activist who came to the fore when Sir Ian was welcomed by the Wellington gay, lesbian, bi, trans community at Premier House during the Return of the King celebrations. Hugh Young of Access Radio's Gay BC was on hand to record McKellen's, as always, witty remarks, which followed an introduction by gay MP Tim Barnett. Barnett's greeting included an account of recent legislative victories for the movement in New Zealand.
I don't quite know what I can talk about. There's a very, very impressive list of achievements, and I wish I could claim the same for our Labour government in the United Kingdom, because although it looks good on paper, it is a little bit worrying. Since Tony Blair became Prime Minister, we have now established an equal age of consent. And gays do serve openly without any effect whatsoever on efficiency and everything else in the military. But both those changes in the law were pursued right up to the European Court of Human Rights by the government, who were insisting on the status quo. I think with a pusillanimity that I suspect it was meant to shelter them from what their critics might say. On the right wing, they could say, well, it's not our fault, we have to do what Europe tells us to do. But there have been other achievements. Slyly slipped through the Commons on a Friday night, when they were all up with their constituencies, the Home Office changed its rules, so now the gay foreign partners of gay nationals in Britain are treated on the same way as straight couples would be, which has been a huge victory and achieved through Stonewall and its supporters. And we're promised in the immediate future some sort of discussion, at least, on partnership laws, which I don't see why shouldn't happen before Mr. Blair has to face the electorate again. And, of course, last week we finally got rid of Section 28, which is how Stonewall... I'm glad you're enthusiastic, but, you know, there it was sitting for 12 years like a rotten apple on the constitutional tree, and finally it's been shaken down. And the man who saw it through the House of Commons under Mrs. Thatcher, who did her bidding on that particular issue when he was the, like you, the Minister for Local Government, Chris. That man, Michael Howard, is now the leader of the Conservative Party, therefore the leader of the opposition, and we look forward to see what change might have occurred in his mind during the last 20 years. But I went to speak to him one day at home, thinking in my euphoria of having come out and thinking that life was all so simple now, all you had to do was to explain the situation to a politician and it would immediately be put right. Well, it doesn't work like that, does it? And so one Sunday morning I went to Notting Hill Gate, where Michael Howard lives with a very attractive ex-model and their two beautiful young daughters. And after he'd spent a quarter of an hour explaining to me why it was inappropriate that people like me should be spoken of in a positive way in schools, and that the promotion of homosexuality in any form was now verboten, he asked me before I left, would I mind signing the autograph books of his little children? So I simply put in the album, you know, kids, you can't have it both ways. Well, you say I'm an international figure. Well, I do travel, that's true. And I was at a meeting in Florida where the foundation of lesbian and gay people were gathered together, their big fundraiser, and had invited me over. And, you know, when you're feeling a little bit down as to whether your own government is doing quite enough work, when you... take things rather personally, it is sometimes very good to have the overview, you know, and to know what's happening around the world and to see that, of course, things are getting better, even as they're getting worse. I mean, we march forward and we slide back a little bit. I'm talking internationally now. But on the whole, the progress is in our direction. But there in Florida, I met Wayne LaRue Smith and Daniel Scahan, two men in their 30s who... over the last 10 years, have fostered 17 homeless children and currently have two living with them, a six-year-old and a seven-year-old, and they want to adopt. And they happen to live in the one state in the United States where adoption by gay people is illegal. So their case is now up with the Supreme Court of Florida, and they're not expecting success, which will mean that the six-year-old, who's been living with them now for 18 months and settled down with them, will be taken back into public care and put into a home with other orphans. This is thought to be a moral society. And at the same table as them, there was a lad of 16 who had just been expelled from his secondary school because he'd come out to his friends there. This is in the United States of America, in the state run by the president's brother. I was sitting next to a man, partial, it's true, to the Democratic Party because he's their treasurer. He said they thought the next election in the United States for presidency was the most crucial that he could remember, because if it were lost and Bush were to be re-elected, he thought the notion of the United States as a theocracy was getting closer and closer with the president's ability to put new people, or rather old people, on the Supreme Court, and his own constant reference to the Almighty as he goes charging off to war. It's a worrying case. However, in Massachusetts, you know, the Supreme Court there decides that it's okay for gays to get some sort of marriage. And I don't know, I suppose, like me, you read this on the internet, but it did amuse me, with reference to the consecration of Gene Robinson as Bishop of the New Hampshire Diocese of the Anglican Communion. The note on the internet says that this is an affront to Christians everywhere. I'm just thankful, says the note, that the church's founder, King Henry VIII, and his wife Anne Catherine of Aragon, and his wife Anne Boleyn, and his wife Jane Seymour, and his wife Anne of Cleves, and his wife Catherine Howard, and indeed his wife Catherine Parr, are no longer here to suffer. To suffer this assault on the sanctity of traditional Christian marriage. But in Massachusetts, I saw a local politician say of John Adam, the second president, that he would be turning in his grave if he knew what was afoot in Massachusetts in changing the constitution that John Adam had helped to write. But I don't know about the second president, but these are the words of the third. And you may have seen them, because if you've visited Washington, D.C., you'll have gone to the most beautiful island monuments to Jefferson. But on the walls, they're carved into the marble. Words which are terribly appropriate, and we should constantly be quoting, I think. He says, Jefferson, that I am not an advocate for frequent changes in laws and constitutions. But laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind as that becomes more developed, more enlightened. As new discoveries are made, new truths discovered, and manners and opinions change, with the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also to keep pace with the times. We might as well require a man to wear still the coats which fitted him when a boy, as civilized society to remain ever under the regimen of their barbarous ancestors. It's, of course, important to change the laws, and that's why we founded Stonewall and why you work as you do in and out of Parliament. Absolutely crucial. But as Tim was indicating, when heaven is reached and the rotten fruit is shaken down, and the constitutional tree just blooms and blossoms and smells sweet, homophobia will still be a virus in the air. You have to believe, don't you, that every time the Pope makes a fool of himself, every time the Anglican Church makes a fool of himself, every time anybody, with the passion which they truly feel, state their case against gay people, you know that they are just suffering what we all suffered from, which is homophobia, until we discovered that the only way to get through that is to be honest and declare what's in our hearts and in our God-given nature, perhaps, our simple notion that our sexuality is our own and nobody else's business. And that will eventually win, of course, and maybe even in our lifetime. But in the meantime, it's not just the laws that need changing, it's institutions that have to exist, like the institutions that have helped bring us here together today. And beyond them, of course, up to each individual. And that's why Section 28 had to go, because kids must be able to come out, as they more frequently do now. At an age when I scarcely realized that sex was a possibility, they are coming out to their parents, and even in one extreme case, a friend of mine, when he was 14, was sat down by his mother in the kitchen. She said, I've got something to tell you, dear. You're gay. Mothers know best. It's lovely to be here, and I thank you for coming, and lots of love.
Is it more fun to play Magneto or Gandalf?
It's more fun to play Gandalf, actually, because I feel I know Gandalf a little bit better than Magneto, who's a rather remote, stern chap, whereas Gandalf, Butch. I didn't say that. Have you seen what he wears? But Gandalf, you know, likes a drink, likes a smoke, likes a chat, and likes hobbits, and... and elves.
That was actor, activist, and wizard of Middle-earth, Sir Ian McKellen. He was speaking at a queer community reception celebrating the premiere of Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, in Wellington, New Zealand.
Margie Adam, singer-songwriter. I want to say thanks for This Way Out. This magazine didn't exist in 1984 when I came off the road, and it's a thrill now that I'm back performing again to know that this show exists and is broadcasting lesbian and gay music and culture all over the world.
Buck or a pound, a buck or a pound, a buck or a pound is all that makes a field go around. That clinking, clanking sound, it makes a field go round.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you.
To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain,
or for audio cassette subscription information,
please visit our website at thiswayout.org,
email us at tworadio@aol.com,
or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
Thanks to Alternabid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out.
Look for the This Way Out auction area at alternabid.com. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Fenceberry, Rex Walkner, and Hugh Young contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. To find out how you can help keep this program on the air and get our fabulous news, movies, and music 2003 year-in-review CDs in the bargain, please log on to thiswayout.org. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, KSUA Fairbanks, Alaska, to XX Canberra, Australian Capital Territory, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.